this December, we've been looking at all sorts of meals that Jesus had with his disciples and other people. And today we're looking at the Last Supper. It's a bit of a strange passage, really, if we think about Christmas, and this is the Last Supper. But anyway, so we're going to start with Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read from that, so it'd be great for you to have a Bible open to that. We're not looking at a passage that's traditionally a Christmas Day passage, but I think as we look at chapter 2 of Luke, I think the Lord's Supper will come to life. So let's turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 8 to 14, and I'll read that for us. It says there, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests.'" Now, that's a Christmas passage, isn't it? That's a Christmas passage. It's a passage that recounts what the shepherds saw in the fields when Jesus was born. Now, if you keep reading, not now, of course, but maybe this afternoon, you'll read about their encounter with Jesus in the manger. But here, as we head into our first point for today, and you'll find an outline in your bulletin too, I want to share with you today that this is Christmas past. This is what we have recorded about Jesus and his birth in the past. And I want you to look at one verse in particular, verse 11. And it says there, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now, we're told the setting, the time of the birth. The setting is the town of David, the time, and that town, the town of David, is the town of Bethlehem. And the time, it says, is today. In that town, a Saviour has been born. And then at the end of verse 11, it declares that he is Christ the Lord. It's speaking about Jesus Christ. We looked at Jesus as the Christ on Sunday. We saw that he's called Christ or Messiah because he was the one who would come and save the people. And I want us to see today in this little section the word Saviour. Saviour. Now, we often talk about Jesus as being both Lord and Saviour. And when we think about what it means to follow Jesus, that's what our sign says outside. We follow Jesus together. Well, what we're saying is we're referring to both these titles, that Jesus is Lord and Saviour. So I want to look at Lord for a moment and work out, well, how can someone be a Lord? Now, in England, we have the House of Lords. Some of you may be familiar with the English Parliament. These are people who have been appointed to the House of Lords, which is one of two chambers of the UK Parliament. Members of the House of Lords are typically appointed by the monarch, so the king, on the recommendation of the Prime Minister or some other senior official. Now, that's one way to become a lord. Get in with those who have the power to make you a lord. I actually also found out that there's another way to become a lord. For $900, I could become Lord John Walthouse and be the proud owner of 1,000 square foot of land in the Scottish Highlands. It's a place called Kilnaish. I would get a certificate, a little bit like this one. And I was really tempted to go ahead and get one, actually. They had a $65 package for 1 square foot of land, but it actually, you only get the electronic certificate. You don't get like the Google Map positioning and all the other things that the $900 package comes with. But that's another way to become a Lord. But the title for Jesus as Lord is because there is no one greater than Jesus. We often call him the King of Kings. In other words, he is the king of all kings who are kings of us. He is the highest power. Everything will submit to Jesus. In fact, all of creation submits to Jesus because he is Lord, because he is the boss of everything. He's Lord because of who he is, not because he bought some certificate on the internet, not because someone nominated him, but because that's who he is. That's why Jesus is Lord. But as we noted, we saw that he is both Lord and Saviour. And this is why I've called this first point Christmas past. Let's take a look at Saviour for a moment. In Luke 2, we have the angels who declare to the shepherds that today a Saviour has been born. Jesus isn't a Saviour because of his birth, but he's born as Lord of all creation with the goal of saving humanity. He's Saviour because of what his life, death and resurrection would achieve for humanity and each one of us. And it's at this point I want to move us on to Christmas present. And I want you to turn to Luke 22 now. See, the passage we read earlier, and we'll see, this is the passage we read earlier, and we'll see here that Jesus, we'll see here what Jesus did to help the disciples see who Jesus is. And what we see in Luke 22 is a declaration of who Jesus is, but given to the disciples by Jesus himself. Now we see in verse 8 that it's time for the Passover, and Jesus tells his disciples, "We'll go and make preparations." Now there are signs of Jesus, of who Jesus is, all over this passage. We talked about Jesus as Lord, and here in verses 10 to 12, we see that Jesus is in control. He tells the disciples what to do, where to go, when they'll meet someone and what they'll find and how they should set it up. In other words, Jesus knows what's going to happen in the future. He's telling them what's going to happen. This is Jesus as Lord. We see in verse 13 that things are exactly as Jesus said they would be. We see that Jesus is both Lord and Saviour, able to do these things. Now, it's quite incredible to think that Jesus could tell them what to do and where to go and who they'll meet. But we shouldn't be surprised, really, should we? Because Jesus is Lord. In fact, Jesus is God in human flesh. That's what the birth of Jesus is all about. Jesus is the representation of God in human form. Now, I've been labouring this point for weeks now. But as we look to Jesus, who do we see? We see God. We see God as we look to Jesus. Jesus shows us who God is. And so as we see here another moment where Jesus displays the power of God in knowing the time and the future and how things will play out for the disciples, again we get a glimpse of the power and majesty of God shown to us through Jesus. We can know God through Jesus. There's other things we see too. We see here in verses 14 to 16 the humanity of Jesus. He's lying at the table and he tells them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And we hear the human nature of Jesus coming through, don't we? You know, when we leave for a long trip, we think about who we're going to miss. Who will we miss? I remember the first time I left home. I went to England. I bought a one-year ticket. And although I was super excited for this adventure that was about to come upon me, I knew that I was going to miss my mum and dad. Even today, my mum says to me, "Oh, if you were so sad, why did you leave?" I cried so much at the airport. My mum didn't know what to do. The whole family was there and I was standing there bawling my eyes out. Why did you want to go if you're crying so much? And then as I jumped on the plane, I cried for another 10 hours as my flight went off to LA. Oh man. Each night for the first week, I think I cried myself to sleep. And I was only going to England. I had a farewell dinner. I invited the friends close to me to say goodbye. Because I was going away and I was going to miss them. But as we look at Jesus, Jesus desired to share the Passover with his friends because he is about to die. Not just going to England, he's about to die. He's about to leave them and he's about to miss them. These guys are his friends and he's about to go. Why does he have to leave? Why does Jesus have to die? Why can't the God of all creation just change a few rules and fix things up and stay with his friends? Because he's our Saviour. And there's a great connection to Jesus, the Saviour, born that day in the city of David. Because he came to be our Saviour. And that means he had to come and die for you. As they sat there enjoying the Passover, Jesus spoke to them about the Passover. But he transforms the Passover and speaks about his own body and what he's going to do to make things right, to bring peace to all people. In verse 19 and 20, we see what Jesus does. He took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Now, if you've ever sat in this church while we've celebrated the Lord's Supper, then you know exactly what these words are used for. You know what they mean. These familiar words of Jesus are used to tell his friends what's going to happen. And we use them again and again to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done. See, as we look at the timeline of Luke, Jesus is about to go to the cross and die. He's about to become the Saviour of the world. Jesus is telling them that he's going to the cross, that he'll die for you and for me. But remember back in Luke chapter 2, the angel said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Saviour is born. That was Christmas past. And now we see in this Christmas present, this present that is Jesus, explaining to his disciples that he would die, the death he would die. He's explaining and sad that he's going away, but that sadness and going away wasn't just for the 12, it was for all of us. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" That's what Jesus did, wasn't it? He paid the price for our rebellion. He paid the price to set us free. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. That Jesus, who was announced as Saviour of the world, is about to do the very thing that would make him Saviour of the world. Now that's one Christmas present, isn't it? An amazing Christmas present. So as we're heading to the last point for today, we turn our attention to Christmas future. And it's as we look at the future, we see what we should look forward to. And in this case, what we see is a desire from Jesus to celebrate with his people. Jesus tells the disciples in verse 16, "I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." He's telling them that after his death, he won't celebrate the Passover with them until they are reunited with him in heaven. It's a picture of the future. Now, we saw that Jesus could explain the future to his disciples, what they were going to see, where they were going to find it, how they were going to set it up. So we can trust that Jesus knows the future. He could tell the disciples everything about what was going to happen in that meal. The death he would die, the death he would endure, and then he tells them, "We will celebrate this again when it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Again, Jesus is speaking about the future. He's telling them that they will celebrate with Jesus when the sign of this meal is fulfilled. And the sign of this meal is that Jesus is the Saviour and that trusting him leads to eternal life. The angel said to them, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the Saviour, and he looks forward to the day when he returns, when he will return, to welcome his children into eternal life. The picture of Christmas that we see here is a meal of salvation. Now it's Christmas today. Our family opened their presents last night. There were lots of expectation, and maybe for you, you're waiting for that expectation to come today, to open that present that was chosen for you with kindness. But as we think about the Christmas future, what we know is that as we look forward to the day that Jesus will return. We look forward to the day when we can celebrate what the Lord's Supper looks forward to, a life eternal with Christ. Now, Christmas Day is a wonderful day. You all know how much I love Christmas. But don't forget that it's only one day of the year. There are many more days of the year to celebrate that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour. Christmas meals are great, but this meal of salvation shows us that Jesus is the one that we can trust. So this Christmas, let's remember who Jesus is. And remember who Jesus has made us to be, and joyfully celebrate the Saviour that's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. See, it's in Jesus that we take refuge, isn't it? So we don't take refuge in the food that we're going to eat today, no matter how nice it might be. Sometimes we use food as an escape, a way to forget what's going on around us. And so this Christmas, why not think about turning to Christ? Find a real meal from the Son of God. Turn to the one who can truly satisfy. Do we stop eating? No. But take time out of the rush and busy moments to reflect on the true refuge we find in Jesus Christ. And my prayer for you is that you will find fulfillment in knowing Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for you. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus is the one in control. Jesus is the one who died for you. And we look forward to an eternity with him. So turn to him, trust him, and know his goodness for your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son for us, for bringing us the light of salvation. Lord, we ask that we may be people who know that you are the Saviour. Lord, we ask that we all have a great Christmas day. May our time with family and friends be joyful. And may you be lifted up in all that we do. And we pray and ask all of this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.